JC Corcoran Podcast.
I got to do this live. All right, friend of mine at the TV station, Lori Light, said, call this girl, and it says here you can razz her about an unusual anatomical feature. And I said, you got to give me more than that. She says, it's above the waist. Somebody else answered the phone last time.
MMI.
Hi, Pat O'Connell, please.
Hold on, please.
Oh, here we go.
Ooh. This is Pat. May I help you?
Hi, Pat.
Yes.
This is St. Louis University calling, and a friend of yours called me up and said that we're doing some research here at the medical school about unusual anatomical features, and I understand that you have one.
Oh, Lori Light. I don't appreciate that.
Could you clue us in on what that unusual anatomical feature is?
Yes, I have a third nipple on my tit.
Pat, I think we have to back up a little bit here.
Tell her.
This is J.C. Corcoran. You're on the air on 93.7 KSD-FM. We just called up to say happy birthday, Pat.
Well, thank you.
We weren't expecting such a jackpot. Will you please explain this? You have a third nipple. Now, be careful. Now, don't be saying the F word or anything here. Now, because
I'm not going to.
we're on the air live. When did this was from birth? Where is this?
Oh my Lord!
No, wait a minute. Now I know there's one. I've seen these before, and I know there's supposed to be one in the middle of each one. So.
I don't believe it.
Have you ever, are you married?
No.
Ever wonder why?
And how old are you today?
28.
28 years old now. Has this come as, do you try to, wow.
hey, what, Pat? What are guys' reactions when they see it for the first time?
Yeah. Do you ever like tell them ahead of time, now look, I'm going to let you take this off, but when you get it off, you're in for a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I try to prepare them, but...
And it still doesn't do any good,
No,
huh?
It's never really what they picture, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure that you've done a little research on this. What is the incidence of this? I mean, how many people have this?
I only know of one other person.
Really? Yeah. You have her number, too? And how did you... And how did you find this person? Stood on a street corner going...
I roomed with her in college.
You roomed with her in college?
I don't like to walk in on these two when they're in the shower. Going, I must need glasses. Well, Pat, would you do us a big favor?
I'm not going to show it to you.
Well, could you just take a picture of it and send it to us? Just a picture.
I'll think about it.
No, please do it. Please do it. Well, thanks for being such a good sport.
Thank you.
About life in general. Pat O'Connell from, where do you work? Well, we better not.
Yeah, we better not say that.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, October 21st, 2022, 18 more days before the whole thing starts coming apart. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. I had to go way deep into the archives for that one. That was 1987 right there, and I don't know what it was recorded on, but it sounded like it was recorded on wire or something, and I apologize for the quality of the audio, but the bit is funny, and you can't do stuff like that now. You just they've changed all the rules, and you can get fined by the government, and nobody wants to have fun anymore. All right, I'm about to tell you a story, and I preface it by telling you first that every word I'm about to relay to you is true. Now, this must be a pretty good story if I say that, because I don't lie to you anyhow. As you know, if you've been listening for the last nearly four decades, I don't get in trouble for making shit up. I get in trouble for telling the truth, and perhaps painfully so and to a fault, but that's what I've always done, and no reason to try to change anything now. So, as I said, everything I'm about to tell you is true. I lived in Milwaukee in 1980. I wasn't there long because things didn't work out with the radio station. I was just telling that story a couple of weeks ago. The guy who ran the place was about, God, he couldn't have been more than about 5'1". And he walked around the station like he was the king of the world, that Napoleon complex they always tell you about. And he had a bone up his butt about the girl who was my co-host on the show. And the ratings just immediately exploded, when I got there, because we were doing shit that nobody had ever done in Milwaukee before. And the audience was responding very, very quickly. This is, again, the summer of 1980. And as I always do, I picked up a partner, and as I try to do, it doesn't always work, but I always try to have a woman as the co-host of the show, with a sort of an equal role, with her microphone on all of the time. And it's one of those things that I've always believed in getting as much cultural diversity. I try to have a person of color on the show. I try to have perhaps different age groups. This is more true as I got older. I tried to have different age groups represented on the show, because John and I were both in our 60s at that time. You know, when we, the last big show we did at K-Hits, but then we had Carl, who was in his 40s, Lori was in her 40s, and then Jen Sparks, when she was around, she was still in her 20s. So we really liked the way that worked out. You got two guys, you got two women on that show. We did not have a person of color, but we did many times before. So anyhow, it's 1980, and I pick up this partner. Her name is Cindy Marsh, and she was very funny. And this general manager of the radio station just didn't like her. He didn't like the way she sounded on the air. And I'm like, well, John, his name was John Hinkle. Like I said, he's like 5'1". I was like, John, you know, I think the audience likes her. And, you know, to be honest, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we're programming this stuff to the audience, not to the general manager. And, you know, you're watching the ratings just explode. Don't fuck up a good deal, man. And he just continued to badger her to the point where she finally was basically forced to quit. And I didn't like the way that played out. I had a very good friend at the time who was running a radio station in Omaha, Johnny Carson's old station, as a matter of fact. And I just figured, no, fuck it, I want to get out of here. And so I just quit the station and I moved to Omaha, and the rest is history. So Milwaukee was an interesting town. It was sort of like a sublet of Chicago. And the thing I liked about Milwaukee is that you can drive right to the water, right to Lake Michigan, get out, and there's Lake Michigan. You know, in Chicago, you can't do that because all of the land right along the water is all developed, and there's fences up all over the place, and then you got buildings and apartments and condos and all that sort of stuff, and there's no place to park. But in Milwaukee, they don't have all that. So like I said, you can drive right up to the water and get out and just sort of walk around if you feel like it. The other thing I remember about Milwaukee is the receptionist at the radio station, she was a very tall, blonde, short hair, very good looking. Her name was Dawn. And everybody in the radio station, all the guys, were always ogling her. But I landed her. Why was I successful? As I always say, really, really attractive women like guys who are funny. And she thought I was funny. And because I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here with the story that I'm trying to tell you, because this is actually going in a specific direction, and I'm talking about Milwaukee and everything, but this is all sort of relevant, at least as far as I'm concerned. But this was the girl, you may recall this story, and I don't mean to be, I don't know, unnecessarily vulgar here today, but it is a true story, and you really sort of wonder how something like this happens. But we used to make out in her parents' basement, And there were instances where the parents came home. We felt like two high school kids, but we're down there in complete darkness. And, you know, her shirt is off and my shirt is off and all this stuff is going on. But because of this unusual situation we had, where we always seemed to end up in her parents' basement with the lights off, it wasn't until I got her to my apartment several weeks later that I discovered, once I got her shirt off, and here's where it sort of gets a little dicey. You know, you're sort of nuzzling around a little bit and you're feeling around. I'm like, what the hell is that? And when I get her in a little bit of light, I notice that there are, I have to say, thick tufts of hair coming out of her areolas. Talk about ruining everything. I was so freaked out by this because I had never run into this before or since, by the way. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. That anymore. That was the place, that was the radio station where I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, that we had Rodney Dangerfield record a commercial for the radio station. Did it absolutely free, if you can believe that. And there were other things about Milwaukee. I was one of the sales managers has a daughter by the name of Kelly, who was like, I don't know, a 35 on a scale of 10. And I would just lay in bed all night and just think of her and think to myself, geez, if I'm lucky enough somewhere down the line of getting a crack at this girl, I hope she doesn't have thick tufts of hair coming out of her areolas, because that would ruin everything, wouldn't it? So anyhow, ended up leaving Milwaukee. I was only there 3 or 4 months. Ended up going to Omaha, and I didn't really think too much about Milwaukee until the emergence of a little story that, if you were around at the time, you'll recall. His name was Jeffrey Dahmer. And up there in Milwaukee, Jeffrey decided he was a little hungry, so let's go look in the refrigerator and the freezer and see what we got. There's some frozen peas, there's some chicken. Oh, there's the head of a Cambodian teenager. Yeah, old Jeffrey, he didn't last in prison very long, because when he got there, the guys, it turns out, didn't really like the idea of Jeffrey being around. Was it because they didn't like the way he looked, didn't like his glasses, didn't like his hairstyle, didn't like the way he dressed? Well, it might have had something to do with the fact that he ate people. And the boys in the prison yard were like, who's going to do it, you or me? And so, I don't know, they clubbed him in the head in the laundry room or something like that, and that was the end of Jeffrey Dahmer. Until just recently, when, and is it on Netflix? I don't know. I haven't watched it, but it's somewhere, and it is the talk of the entertainment world, because this Jeffrey Dahmer series, well, like I said, I don't know if it's on Amazon or Netflix or whatever, but wherever it is setting records for the amount of people, the number of people watching. I don't know what that says about us, but whatever it says about us, I'm uncomfortable with it, okay? So everybody is watching this Jeffrey Dahmer thing. Everybody's talking about it. And a lot of stuff is popping up on social media. And a lot of it is popping up on Facebook. So yesterday, I'm just perusing my Facebook feed. And I'm looking. Oh, look, that's funny. And it is a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer sitting at a restaurant table. It's a burger joint. And he's sitting there, and he's got a disappointed look on his face. And the caption on the meme is, I can't taste Five Guys. Get it? He's at Five Guys Burgers, but he thinks it's the burgers, that he's going to taste five different guys, okay? Pretty damn funny. And again, I get this from Facebook. So I'm laughing at it. I'm like, people will enjoy that. So I decide to share it with my thousands of followers, and almost immediately, I get one of those windows that pops up on Facebook saying, your account is suspended for 30 days because you have violated community standards. And this is where it might be a good opportunity to just step backwards a little bit. So I got this meme from Facebook. There's nothing sexual or violent or any of the things that seem to really make the algorithms at Facebook go berserk. And again, so to review, a meme that I got from Facebook. I just repost, I share, and I get flagged and my account suspended for 30 days. You want to know the kicker? Late last night, I'm looking at Facebook again, and there's the meme posted by another person. And this morning when I got up, I double checked it. It's still there. So again, to review, something I got from Facebook, I reposted. I got suspended for 30 days, and the person who initially posted it did not get suspended, and the meme is still on her timeline. Now, you tell me what the fuck is going on. I'm going to end up on Truth Social pretty soon. Just in time for these balmy temperatures we've had the last couple of mornings in St. Louis, natural gas going up 28% this winter. How the hell does that happen? Before these fucking Facebook people started messing with me yesterday, I posted something again, reposted a meme that was talking about Jack Nicholson. And it's a picture of Jack Nicholson in the 1960s sitting with, I think it was not Mickey Dolenz, it was Peter Tork. Picture of Jack Nicholson, and Peter Tork's got a guitar, and they're just sort of sitting there hanging out. And the meme points out that Nicholson had been hanging out with the Monkees for some odd reason back in the 60s, probably because they had a number one television show. You know, people laugh and sort of don't take the Monkees seriously, but, you know, they had some good songs. I mean, they, you know, Pleasant Valley Sunday was written by Carole King and was a damn good song and sort of groundbreaking for its time. But really, when it comes down to it, the Monkees were a commodity. It was the TV show. The TV show. And again, this is one of those parts of the story that has to be accentuated. You didn't know how close we came to never having the band Crosby, Stills, and Nash, because Stephen Stills came this close to being one of the Monkees, but they didn't like his hair or his teeth. And so they moved on to, I think it was Mickey Dolenz who got the job then. And again, like they say, the rest is history, but we almost didn't have Crosby, Stills, and Nash. It have been a bummer. So the meme points out that not only did Jack Nicholson hang out with the Monkees, but that he also sang background vocals on Daydream Believer. So I posted that, and what do I always say? What do I always say? People will bitch, moan, and argue about anything, okay? It's the fucking Monkees. A make-believe band from 50 years ago, and people start lacerating my post, insisting that Jack Nicholson never sang background vocals on Daydream Believer. And this guy goes into this diatribe. It was like the length of a Costco receipt. This guy's just going on and on and on and on and on about the Monkees and how irresponsible it is for me to have posted that. It's... God, take up woodworking or something. Just do something rather than sitting on the computer picking fights with people. I like these Jersey Mike commercials that started popping up in the baseball game last night with Danny DeVito. I'm not a big fast food guy, and I'm not really a sub guy, but those Jersey Mike turkey sandwiches are damn good. And if you're going to do an endorsement of any kind, whether you're Danny DeVito or me just telling you what I like, well, you start thinking about Subway, right? Subway, the whole Jared thing, he's not getting out of jail anytime soon. And now, if you've been looking at this last, I don't know, year or so, they've been doing all sorts of stories about people who buy into Subway and get a franchise and are just horrified by how the whole thing ends up turning out. It's just a total horror story from these franchisees, and they're just like, oh, God, worst decision of my life. Then you got the Jimmy John's psycho, that fucking guy, I'd like to punch him in the throat. Firehouse, I think that those sandwiches, they're forgetting, are they might have started with firefighters, you know, big, strong, strapping 6'5" guys who are 28 years old and need their nourishment. And so an 11-pound sandwich makes sense to them. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't need that much food. So if you're going to get involved with somebody, I think Jersey Mike's is the guys you want to be with. Danny DeVito doing commercials. I've interviewed him a couple of times. What you see is what you get. He's exactly the way he is in his performances. Riga, Riga, The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is one calculating son of a bitch. Every single thing that this guy does is plotted out in such a way that seems to take any situation, as innocuous as it may appear on the surface, but he's got it twisted out of perspective to the point where, I swear to God, if he told me today was Friday, I wouldn't believe him. So the other day, you may have seen this because it was on CNN, they found like four people who were convicted of election fraud in the last election, like four. And he's jumping up and down going, see, see, election fraud. See, they say it doesn't exist, but see, we found four. It's like four people out of, well, something like, you know, 16 million people in the state of Florida. And at the time, I was like, why is he making such a big deal out of this? Then you find out a day later, along with his butt buddy down in Texas and Florida, trying to get these people who think they're in some sort of army, poll watchers. Now, I'm going to have to look and see what the laws say about just exactly how hard you can hit a poll watcher with your car. So you're going to go in to try to vote. There's going to be a bunch of self-appointed doofuses who are going to be standing there giving you the stink eye. I can tell you right now, I don't think I'm going to be in the mood for this on election day. So you may be seeing me on CNN as they're dragging me away in handcuffs, dragging me by my ankles, throwing me into the paddy wagon. Poll watchers. First of all, unless you're in the voting booth, and they don't even do booths anymore. You just stand there in a gymnasium in a high school or something, and you're right out in the open, and they have a little partition, but it's not like the old days where you actually went into a booth and closed a curtain and you voted. They don't even do that anymore. So, you know, you can laugh, and people have laughed at me going all the way back 2 years ago when I started doing this countdown as we start the podcast every day, giving you the number of days until election day. And that's just the midterms. I'm going to have to start another countdown in 19 days because that's the important countdown. That's for the general election. And that's where the democratic system in this country, you're going to really figure out how bad things are. And they're going to get real bad because the Democrats are going to get their asses kicked in these midterms in 18 days. They might hold on to the Senate. Maybe. It's going to be a bloodbath in the House. And you're going to find out, you know, you have, I don't know, there's something like 20 or 30 election deniers. Some of them are going to win, and those people are going to be in the legislature, and they're going to be determining policy, and they're going to be voting on things. Things that, in many cases, they're going to affect you. They're going to affect you directly or indirectly, but they're going to affect you. And I don't know if that's going to wake people up. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. All I know is the end is near, and I'm not saying that to be funny. I wish I was saying it to be funny. 60 years ago today was the only time I ever saw real fear in the eyes and on the face of my father, because this is the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis speech given by John Fitzgerald Kennedy, where he sat there and said, okay, here's what's going on. They got missiles pointed at us down in Cuba, or as he said, Cuba, and we're setting up this blockade. I don't know what to tell you, folks, but this ain't good. And I remember asking my mother, you know, is daddy have to go back in the army? Scared the shit out of everybody, and for good reason, because we were probably about 15 minutes away from nuclear annihilation. And I shudder to think what some of the politicians who have been sitting in the White House, either in the Oval Office or, you know, part of presidential cabinets and stuff like that, I shudder to think what would have happened if, how about, you know, George W. Bush, you know, bring it on. Yeah, yeah, great. Followed by the mushroom cloud. But I'm telling you, the depiction of this story in the movie 13 Days is a remarkable movie, and I may watch it again over the weekend. I've probably seen it 40 or 50 times, and I may see it another 40 or 50 times. I've always had some sort of obsession with the Cuban Missile Crisis. And again, the big speech was on this date back in 1962. On this date in 1986, the radio station had just moved to the new facility at Union Station, and we'd only been on the air there a couple of days. This is back in 1986. You know, John and I would do the show together from 6 until 9, but then I would be on my own from 9 until 10 o'clock. And it was very, as they say, music intensive. I didn't do a lot of talking. It was sort of like, okay, you know, we screwed around for 3 hours, and now we're trying to make that transition into the midday show. And so 9 to 10 o'clock, we sort of made that transition from all the silly nonsense into a legitimate classic rock presentation. But it doesn't mean that I wouldn't goof around a little bit. So I was playing Another Brick in the Wall, Pink Floyd, and, you know, with the helicopter stuff at the beginning. And as we so often did, we used to make fun of Alan Barklage, which is interesting because then I ended up working with him for 5 years and we had a great relationship. But back in those days, 1986, we were always making fun of the competition. And Alan used to fly in this thing called the Yellowcopter because the helicopter was painted yellow. So he'd call it the Yellowcopter. And I'm playing Pink Floyd and the intro is running and I'm saying something about, hey, coming up, I'm going to be doing this or doing that. We got some tickets, blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, Alan Bart. And I picked up my megaphone, and I made it sound like I was doing some sort of a news report or something. Like, you know, the helicopter has just crashed, blah, blah, blah. It was like a throwaway. Well, 2 days later, it's the lead story, the front page of the St. Louis Globe Democrat. And to make a very, very long story short, what had happened was somebody called the newspaper and said, he just crashed the helicopter, and that's terrible, and oh my God, and the world is going to end. And the newspaper starts doing all these interviews with people about the psychological impact of saying that Alan crashed his helicopter. It just absolutely manufactured front page nonsense by the Globe Democrat, which I believe at the time was run by Martin Dugan, who used to be on Hannyberg. Are you... outraged, Mark Fitter. Well, you know, it was, we had sponsors threatening to cancel and all sorts of stuff. And it was all this manufactured nonsense by the newspaper. Now, it eventually blew over. Fast forward about 2 years down the line, and I am putting together a deal. We're finishing off the details of a contract that I'm going to go to work at KSD, which you'll recall 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station, was there for like 5 years. We're putting this deal together, and I'm sitting at this big boardroom table, and all the representatives for KSD are sitting there, and in walks Bob Rowe. Now, those of you who are old enough to remember Bob Rowe, interior lineman for the Big Red, as in St. Louis Cardinal football, Bob was a sales executive at the radio station. And I meet him for the first time, and he just starts laughing as he's shaking my hand, and I'm being introduced to all these people, and he's just laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing about? He proceeds to tell me that it was KSD that called the newspaper about this thing that I had done on the air with Alan's helicopter crashing with the helicopter noises from Pink Floyd. They were the ones behind the whole thing. They didn't tell the people at the newspaper who they were. They wanted it to seem like it was just some sort of, you know, concerned citizen. Bullshit. Bullshit. So this thing ends up on the front page of the St. Louis Globe Democrat, ostensibly because community outrage was running rampant. Well, not exactly. It was a competitor. They thought it was hilarious, and they were still laughing because they thought it was that funny. Things are not always as they appear. I was looking at the NFL schedule. There have been some great matchups. You know, you've got Mahomes against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You had Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. You had a couple of really, really good matchups. Man, there's been some good games the last probably about 3 weeks. Not anymore. I looked at the schedule for this weekend. There's not one game that I find interesting. Not one classic matchup. Not one anything. Maybe the San Francisco game. But other than that, I don't know. I'm going to be watching baseball, I guess. The NFL moving the Sunday Ticket from DirecTV to a streaming service beginning next year. And according to reports, the four major bidders are ESPN Plus Apple TV+, Amazon Prime, and YouTube. Now, in a poll of more than 5,000 NFL fans, 35% wanted to go to YouTube, 29% wanted to go to Amazon Prime, 20% wanted to go to ESPN+, and 16% would prefer Apple TV. The price expected to be similar to what it is now, and it would probably be added in with some sort of premium fee on top of regular subscription fees. I used to have the Sunday ticket, and I really enjoyed it, but the price just kept going up and up and up, way past the point of being ridiculous. I don't know, it's like $300 now? Used to be $100. And is this the final domino to go down before there are no more free NFL football games on TV? We'll see. It sure looks like it's heading that direction. The Astros have taken a 2-0 lead over the Yankees in the American League Championship Series. Guy ran out on the field last night trying to take a selfie with Jose Altuve over at second base. He spent a night in the box. And Matt Carpenter, who seemed to have some sort of rejuvenation when the Cardinals let him go and he ended up with the Yankees, it became a fan favorite. He comes to bat. People are cheering. He's hitting home runs, all this sort of stuff. He's struck out now, what is it, five straight times? I think it's five straight times he has struck out, including in key situations with men on base, game situations late in the game. And, you know, he's functioning as the DH most of the time. Big, big, huge disappointment. Guy is just, he's either red hot or ice cold. Kevin Spacey wins his civil suit against this guy, Anthony Rapp, who was suing him for $40 million for sexual assault for something that allegedly happened back in the 80s. The jury said, this is bullshit. Now, Spacey still facing several allegations, including criminal charges in London. So it ain't over. Yeah. Okay, we'll be ready. All right. Yeah. Why don't you make yourself like one of those breakfast sandwiches or something?
So. Yeah, I'm just fine. Can I say hi?
Can you say hi?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. Bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. As George Carlin said, here is a bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. My daughter, who just recently turned 13, hi. Francesca, would like to say hello. Get real close. Say.
Hi, guys. I just want to say hi because I don't even know how long it has been since I've been on the air, but...
Me neither.
So, yeah, hi, guys.
Have a great weekend, everybody. All right, birthdays today. Kim Kardashian, 42. Judge Judy, who has all of the money in the world. She's been making almost $50 million a year for the last 30 years. Jesus, she's 80 today. Manfred Mann, 82. Carrie Fisher would have had a birthday today. She was born in 56. Birthdays on Saturday. Jonathan Lipnicki, the little kid in Jerry Maguire, turns 32. Bob Odenkirk, 60. Jeff Goldblum, 70. Christopher Lloyd. You keep using that word, heavy. Is there something wrong with the world's gravity in 1985? Back to the Future. Christopher Lloyd, 84 on Saturday. Sunday, Ireland Baldwin, daughter of Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, 27. Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, 36. Meghan McCain, 38. Ryan Reynolds, 46. Doug Flutie, Boston College, 60 today. Weird Al Yankovic, a favorite of ours, 63. Dwight Yoakam, country star, and one of the stars of the movie Sling Blade. He was damn good in it, too, 66. Ang Lee, director of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Brokeback Mountain, The Ice Storm. Ooh, wow. 68 today. Pele is 82. Chichi Rodriguez, the greatest Puerto Rican golfer of all time, 87. And a Los Angeles man spent $120,000 on cosmetic procedures to look like Britney Spears. It's a guy. He's so convincing, her father locked him in a closet and took control of his bank account. Happy birthday, Carl the Intern. Coming up on Sunday. That's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast, Friday, October 21st, 2022, 18 days until the beginning of the end. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at jconline.com. Spread the word if you can. You may email me, jc at jconline.com. Facebook, the showgram with J.C. Corcoran, although it does not appear that I will be posting anything for a while now. Jeffrey Dahmer, I don't taste fine, guys. Shut him down! And in the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.